This is item D, the mid-year budget update. We welcome Judge Jarre, Corey Jasperson, and Zlatko Theodorovich.
Thank you again, Chief. We don't have written materials concerning this update. By way of lead-up or background, you will recall that in November, we learned for the first time that the Department of Finance, in order to address the promised restoration of $418 million of the one-time $540 million general fund reduction to support the courts, was proposing not to restore the full 418, but in effect to restore 218 of that amount, with the balance of 200 million to be comprised of the aggregated fund balances, sometimes called reserves, in the trial courts. The chief and many of us, of course, urged reconsideration of that position, given the frightening outcomes that would occur in fiscal 13-14 were those fund balance amounts, which of course are being spent down per law to 1% over a two-year period, suddenly to be unavailable. On January 10th, the governor issued his budget message, proposing indeed a restoration of $218 million, not unfortunately the full $418 million of one-time general fund cuts experienced this year. His budget message, however, proposed that the balance, the $200 million that I spoke of moments ago, be as a consequence of a redirection of construction funds from what we commonly refer to as our ICNA account, or Immediate and Critical Needs account, which, of course, has an effect on the facility's revenue stream. In addition, for the most part, the budget change proposals, which had been forwarded on behalf of the council during the summertime, were declined, including some benefit and compensation increases both at trial court and state level, which customarily have been matters that have been dealt with outside of the existing budgets of the courts. The governor's budget proposal also indicates that the Long Beach courthouse, when payments begin in fiscal 13-14, would be paid for through the revenue stream in the 1407 ICNA fund. The net effect, among many, but in general terms, of the governor's budget proposal, were it to become the budget bill, is that while the fund balances remain in the hands of the trial courts through the balance of fiscal 13-14 for their use in cushioning the reductions in support for operations funding, our construction program, of course, is damaged as a consequence. Were the ultimate budget to reflect the governor's budget proposal, there are several cumulative effects. One-time offsets that we have been able to provide to the trial court from statewide funds, for example, the Modernization Fund, are largely a thing of the past because of the depletion of those fund sources. Multiple fee and fine increases over the last few years, of course, threaten to narrow access to the public to the courts, as the cost of filing an action, responding to an action, or answering a simple traffic citation, if you will, go considerably higher. Since facilities money is also raised, the revenue stream for facilities construction and maintenance is also raised via fines, fine penalty assessments more particularly, and fees. The redirection of those revenue streams in whole or in part has the effect of rapidly transforming our branch into a fee-for-service entity. For example, the LAO's office, the Legislative Analyst's Office, recently issued a report which noted that whereas 4 years ago the general fund accounted for 56% of the total judicial branch budget, the general fund being the unencumbered funds that we think of as our income tax dollars, our sales tax dollars that go into a state fund that's slightly less than $100 billion, though it accounted for fully 56% of our entire judicial branch budget just 4 years ago, the LAO reports that that amount is now only 20% of our total funding. Another way of looking at the general fund issue is that taking all state general fund spending throughout on all state activities, for every dollar of general fund that is spent, one penny goes to the judicial branch. There are obviously practical considerations that are access-related, associated with an increasingly fee-driven support, the branch. But there are, of course, more serious philosophical issues that arise that are associated with our branch, which belongs to, after all, and serves all the citizens, whether they actually come into court other than for jury duty or not. So our work is cut out for us. We have sub-minimum level funding that we're facing as a budget proposal for this year. We will advocate that the general fund, not construction funds or other sources, replenish, reinvest, and be returned to our branch. We will advance a return of the balance of this year's general fund reduction also, which numbers roughly $125 million that's presently scored as a permanent cut. We will advocate for the budget change proposals reflecting added costs to our branch, not the least of which, of course, are the benefit enhancements or enlargements that I mentioned previously. The next steps, of course, involve, as most of you are aware, action in a concerted and organized way. The Office of Governmental Affairs is serving as the clearinghouse and organizing point for that activity. The policy-driven day-to-day response is being focused in the branch budget planning group that was formed by the chief, and at the same time she formed what we might call a rapid response subcommittee of that group, which is developing and has developed an action plan for advocacy and for partnering. We are refining and sharpening the messages as I speak for that group. And we have also already kicked off sessions internally and with the broad array of attorney groups, most of which are under the umbrella of what we've commonly referred to as the Open Courts Coalition. As was mentioned already, the legislative reception, in fact, that was put on by several of our bar associations last evening was a great success. The chief had an opportunity to meet and greet most of the new legislators, and we were delighted at the response to the invitations to attend. Of course, crucial partners in this process are the California Judges Association, the Bench Bar Coalition, the specialty bars already mentioned. We're teeing up a common message, and we're obviously grateful to the presiding judges and court executives officers whose huge assist in this effort is already afoot. Once again, our OGA office will serve as an organizing point so that we are certain that the messages are uniform, that they're transparent, that they're consistent, and that there's an organized process by which we communicate the so important message that we must communicate. One thing that I know that we're addressing head-on is the clear and plain message from the Department of Finance and from the stakeholders who have come back to us, having spoken with those in Sacramento, that we address the allocation metrics now and we resolve those issues promptly. So with that, I will turn things over to Corey and Zlatko, whose shops have been, as I mentioned earlier in my AD report, working pretty much 24/7 of late.
Corey and I don't have much to add unless there are questions. One thing I will note, I think that's important, is that the Department of Finance did include a number of efficiencies that the council was pursuing, which I think went through a good process with some subgroups and vetting through the council to get some relief from some statutory requirements as well as some minor fee adjustments. One particular interest to many of the courts is the inclusion of the $10 administrative fee on the vehicle code lookups. That was something that this council has dealt with over the last few months. So we're pleased to hear that, and hopefully that will be something that we'll get through the legislative process. In addition to that, the Department of Finance indicated their support on working with the branch on developing cash flow solutions given the current language on the 1%. So we are encouraged by that, but we're still fighting and looking for increases in that fund balance amount. But notwithstanding that, we are working on cash, and that is a critical issue that many courts have been concerned about. So just wanted to say that today in the meeting.
Can I get a clarification, Zlatko? So in the governor's budget proposal, previously we had at least 17 correct efficiencies that we brought to their attention, and in the governor's proposed budget, he's adopted 11 of
correct
our efficiencies. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
I suppose I should jump in quickly before Corey speaks with you to indicate that I, by oversight, monumental oversight, did not mention the issue of fund balance restoration. Quite plainly, the 1% number that is staring us all in the face is simply unworkable from a variety of points of view, not the least of which is the problem of just fundamental cash flow needs, things like making payroll, things like advancing the funds that are grant fund activities, a most obvious example of which is the very important AB 1058 Child Support Commissioner Program. Our courts advance months in advance before they receive reimbursement. Those fund balances must be present in order for those programs just to continue. So forgive me for that oversight. Corey?
I would just add that there was a total of 17 efficiencies, so the trailer bill language would include 11 of those. The remaining six, then we would, per the council's direction, pursue those in standalone policy bills. And we also have another handful which should be coming to the council next month to be included in that discussion as well. And with that, I have nothing further to add.
One more thing, just you often want to know what the percent of total budget that the branch is and what share of general fund. And with respect to the total budget, the branch is 2.2% when all funds are considered. And as far as share of general fund, we're at 1.2. So I know we're walking around numbers in folks' minds. We're still down from the prior highs. But we're, like I said, 2.2 of the total budget when you consider all funds.
So, Zlatko, when I said one penny, I should have said 1.2 pennies?
If you can break up a penny into two-tenths, yes.
Accept my apologies.
No. It's just new from the governor's budget.
I suppose I should close before folks may have questions by indicating that, as I think I stated previously, my view is that the governor is engaged on this issue. My view is that he is intensely concerned about ensuring that justice is available to all Californians, and obviously he also is challenged by serious fiscal problems of long standing. I also have the impression from the initial discussions that have begun throughout Sacramento that the importance of and the problems associated with funding our branch are very definitely on the radar screen for our colleagues in the legislature.
Thank you. Justice Miller, then Commissioner Alexander.
Zlatko or Corey, I just wanted to follow up on the efficiencies because I think those are important. It's my understanding we've tried in the past to have those included in the budget language and have not been successful. And this year we were with 11, and it's not that the other six are not agreed to or that they disagree with them. It's that they fit into a different category. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. The idea is that statutory change that accompanies the budget should have nexus to the budget. And so in their minds, the 11 that they agreed to have nexus with budget, whereas the other six they felt were more policy-oriented. So not that they disagree with them in any way, but they should be dealt with in that normal policy bill process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Alexander?
I don't remember the time frame, but a couple of years ago, they took money from 1407 that was a loan.
The 90. Right.
And my understanding is that that's not going to be paid, that one of the proposals is that not be paid back, and that be considered, or is that right or wrong?
They are not.
No. I don't think they're disavowing the loan.
No, they're pushing the payback date out from what we had previously been told.
And there are two loans, a 250
yeah,
and a 90.
The $350 million and 90. and just as part of the broader budget proposal that the governor made was, if we recall, I think we reported that the LAO had estimated that the budget hole was $1.9 billion. So how are they now reporting that there's no budget hole? Well, part of that is that I think that there's $500 million of what was anticipated to be paid in 13-14 in a variety of loans are being pushed out. So that's one of their budget techniques is what we thought we were going to pay back in loans, we're going to defer for another year or two depending on the needs of the program, and our fund was one of those that was being pushed out.
Thank you. Justice Baxter?
Yeah, I'd like to just tag on to Justice Miller's, or I guess it was Judge Jarre's comment about the governor's willingness to be involved in a continuing dialogue. I think that's true. What we did see when the Chief Justice met with the governor and the Director of Finance, two primary issues were discussed, the reserves issue and also the prior rejection of efficiencies that had been presented to the Department of Finance and to the legislature. And all I can say is the fact that the governor's budget reacted to both of those important issues, I think, is evidence of good faith and his willingness to engage in a continuing dialogue that hopefully will get us out of the woods by June.
Thank you. Any more comment or question?
Chief?
Yes. Who's speaking?
This is Rosenberg on the phone.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg.
A question for Zlatko. You had mentioned the percentages that the judicial branch budget is of the total state budget, and I want to make sure we compare apples to apples. What did you say the current percentage is?
The percentage is calculated from the governor's budget is 1.2% of total general fund and 2.2% of all funds.
2.2. I mean, you faded out there for a second. 2.2. And wasn't there a time when the judicial branch portion was closer to 3% of the total state budget?
I believe so.
Yes.
I think that's an important number to understand vis-a-vis historically what the judiciary has received through the total state budget. I just wanted to emphasize that.
That's a good point. Last year it was 1.4%, was it not?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the judiciary's workload has not decreased. And yet our total support within the state budget has decreased substantially.
I think Judge Rosenberg brings up a point in terms of workload, is that, as you know, this council approved us pursuing funding for enacted legislation, including the Homeowners Bill of Rights. And in our Judge Jarre's memo out to the branch, we did note that there was no funding included for additional mandates coming from statutory changes. So while our funding is not going up, the responsibilities on the branch are increasing, and so there's additional workload that's going to be out there performed at the trial courts without additional resources. So that it further creates cost increases that you have less and less resources to deal with.
Yes. Judge O'Malley, and then David Yamasaki. Chief, I think for the people that are listening in, they might not understand what the efficiencies are. So if we could, I don't know, Judge Jarre, if you want to kind of just elaborate how those, what they are, who originated them. They came from, I believe, a subgroup of the Trial Court Presiding Judge Advisory Committee, headed up by, here I'm telling Judge Jarre to do it, here I'm jawing on. Won't be the first time, Judge Jarre. But I think Judge Boris and another committee kind of helped work on areas of legislation and requirements and statutes that that were out of date or no longer highly relevant, and things that the judicial branch was required to do that we requested of the legislature to try and take a look at to see if these could be dissolved in some manner or ceased to have to require fulfill these requirements. And so I think these are some or part of these efficiencies, also things that we felt, you know, would help streamline matters, and that's what was proposed. I don't think there's a lot of people that know what that was.
Yeah, I can just give you a short title of the 11 items that were included. improved tools for collection of court-ordered debt, search fees, destruction of records, preliminary hearing transcripts, refining procedures for pursuing reimbursement of court-appointed dependency counsel, trial by written declaration, increased fees for exemplification of a record, copy fees and comparison fees, fees for clerk mailing service of a claim and order on a defendant in small claims actions, court costs for the deferred entry of judgment, and then the previously mentioned $10 administrative fee on a vehicle violation lookup.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any more comment? David.
Thank you, Chief. I wanted to just make a comment about one of the points that Judge Jarre, you made about the significance of making some headway in the retention of trial court fund balances. I think this year we've seen a tremendous challenge, especially because of the prospect of losing that fund balance or limiting it to 1%. And we have done internal analyses that identified many courts running out of money this year and trying to find interim solutions. And some of those interim solutions have included the prospect of borrowing money from different sources, perhaps from local counties. That's not the sort of situation that the branch should be facing, borrowing money just to make payroll. And I'm hopeful that the realities that we're facing resonate in Sacramento, the necessity to make adjustments there too. I know that the Legislative Analyst Office previously reported the importance of allowing courts to retain fund balances just to make basically ends meet, and I'm hopeful that that message can continue to resonate through all of the avenues that we can pursue and reinforcing that point.
Thank you, David. So at this time, then, this concludes what will be an ongoing discussion for council and for the branch and with our sister branches on the budget. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Zlatko. Thank you, Judge Jarre.